Hi, I'm Marilyn Smith. We're taking a look at the Columbus restaurant scene on All Sides Weekend. Joining me this morning is WOSU restaurant reviewer Rich Terapak, along with contributor to Edible Columbus and City Scene magazine, Steve Stover. Well, gentlemen, we have Restaurant Week coming up next week. This is not a Dine Originals event. Right. I'm not sure if this group is...
614, I believe.
It is loosely coordinated.
Loosely coordinated. There was an ad, a full-page ad, and some of the same people are on it.
And there are TV ads running.
Right.
And it's a mix of what we've often mentioned on the show is the Dine Originals Restaurant Week, which is a coalition of independent restaurants. This is a mix of both kind of corporate interest and independent. You'll find the Mitchells, the Hyde Parks in there on this week's one. Still great deals to be had, and I believe the price range now is $15 to $35 as opposed to $10 to $30 in the past.
And there are some great deals to be found. There's Belago, Waterfront Bistro, Bon V, the Buckeye Hall of Fame. It just goes on and on. The Flatiron downtown, and all of these.
Spaggio.
I think all of these restaurants are offering one preset menu, either at the $15 level, the $20, the $30, mm-hmm. $35. So it's not as though you're going to get all four.
Although most of them, I was just at Spaggio last week. They have a choice at the first course, the entree, and the dessert. In fact, you can even choose a dessert from the dessert case at Spaggio. So,
most of the restaurants will offer a choice rather than just one thing. But it's usually three items, price fixed.
Oh, okay, because when you go on the website and you hit $30, a different group of restaurants comes up as opposed to when you hit $35.
Oh, right. No, they're each in a different category. There's some that are $15, some that are $25, some that are $35. But then once you're there, generally you'll have, two or three items to choose from an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert standpoint.
So this is January 17th through the 22nd, and we're kind of in the doldrums of the restaurant year. It's after the holidays, before patio season, and restaurants are anxious to get customers in.
Right. And It's usually a very slow period. An anecdotal drive through town the other day showed things were pretty slow at the local restaurants. But there's a lot to talk about because we just finished a busy year, a busy and productive year on the Columbus restaurant scene, and we're looking forward to some excitement in 2011. I think we've turned the corner, Rich. You think?
I think so. We've seen several new openings, not as many closings. It seems like, the economy on the whole is on the way back, and in Columbus especially.
And there is even a trend that I was reading about somewhere that said, called it frugality fatigue, that people are tired of being thrifty and not going out as much. And there was a trend just a couple of years ago where people were dining out so much, up to 65% of the food dollar now is spent on restaurant dining and takeaway, that it was hurting the upper-end restaurants because people were going out so that they brought it down. But this may be a kick up for the higher-end restaurants.
Well, when it's a special occasion, you only do it now and again. It's not that you're going out two and three, four times a week. But we are seeing some interesting openings. Most notably probably is the Hubbard Grill on High Street in the Short North.
Yeah, that's been highly anticipated. It's a wonderful space. It's that old car dealership right at Hubbard and High in the Short North.
Where Rosendale's was, but I heard it's really quite...
Yeah, I mean, Rosendale's spent a lot of money bringing the place up. Apparently, the new group, was it Taste Hospitality Group, who owns it, they've changed the decor a good bit. And, it's still somewhat upscale, but a little more casual.
Well, younger crowd.
The price points are still fairly high. Mm-hmm. When I first read about this place coming in, I was expecting more of a almost press grill type place, just maybe associating geographically or somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
But yeah, some of the price points on the entrees are anywhere from $16 to $24. You've got a menu over there, don't you, Marilyn?
I had a menu over here, and let me look for it and pull it up.
They have a great – I think the neatest thing is you drive down High Street, a great kind of retro neon sign that says Hubbard Bar and
Which
Grill.
Which I think is 20 feet.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. It's red. Great looking thing and, a great addition to that whole Short North corridor right there. But yeah, let's see. At supper on the I'm looking at the menu now. They've got a spiced red snapper $21, braised barbecue ribs at $24. It seems a little high. Of course, they've got the filet on there. They've got a salmon for $19, pork chop at $18. So it's not nearly as high prices as Rosendale's was, which I always felt was well overpriced. But it's not your typical. When I hear grill, I typically think of things a little less. They do have, you know, like turkey sandwiches, grilled cheese.
And
burgers, and appetizers as well. But they do have a high end supper.
They have TVs too.
I have not been in yet.
And although the 19 to 24 range, I think that's a very good range. It reminds me a little bit about Third and Hollywood in that sort of range, mm-hmm. plus sandwiches and stuff. So that's a good one. We were just at Need last weekend and had a really nice dinner, and I think that's big. And SIBO up in my neck of the woods, up at Henderson and Reed, has gotten a lot of buzz. It's in that price range. The pastas are in the upper teens and the entrees are in the 20s.
And this is a family offshoot, isn't it, of a long-term?
It's offset of the Da Vinci's family. Mm. So, and it's in the same location, but it is a little challenge in parking. And I've been in twice just to check it out, and I'm going to go for a full dinner soon. But there's been a lot of buzz in the area, which is okay. So there's quite a bit of stuff happening.
Well, talk about a challenge in parking. Need certainly has a challenge in parking, being at Swan and High.
Right. It's right across from the convention center, for those of you who are not familiar with it. There's been a couple different Asian restaurants that have tried to work there, have not done so well. I think they're getting a good local following. I know they were voted best new restaurant in Columbus, mm-hmm. In Columbus Underground by their readers this year.
And these are very experienced restaurants.
Oh, yes. And
we had a great experience. It was jammed. It was a fairly young crowd, which I would expect at the Hubbard Grill too. And it was a local neighborhood crowd. Again, they're doing a lot of local sourcing, buying lots of local ingredients. And it's got a little southwestern twist. But there was a wait on a Friday night at 8 o'clock. And there was a bit of a bar crowd. And so I'm pleased to see that. It's Rick and Krista Lopez, for those of you who remember La Tavola. Up in Powell and in downtown Powell, and then on the Riverside, Riverside Drive south of 161.
And the one thing that my only gripe with Need, we had lunch there and did a podcast review mm-hmm. on it had a delicious lunch, but the menu is rather limited, which, you know, for their size and the way they're running the place, I think it's, you know, very owner hands-on.
Yes.
They don't have a huge kitchen to work in. But the menu is a little bit limited, so you may want to just take a look online, make sure there's something that would satisfy you if you go there.
It may be more so for lunch than for dinner.
Yes. But still, I would say it's a limited menu because the owner's going to be cooking your plate and touching your plate. So
right. And there's a lot to be said for that as well.
That's a plus. Yeah. I think that's a toss-up there, but still interesting.
292-8513. We're talking about restaurants here in Central Ohio with restaurant reviewer Rich Tarapak. And with Steve Stover of Edible Columbus and City Scene Magazine. And we'd like to hear from our listeners as well. We always get great tips for area dining from them, too. What other kinds of openings are we seeing recently?
Well, I think the last 24 to 34 months has been relatively quiet. Fewer high-end restaurants and generally fewer restaurants. But I would say in 2010, it started to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
Park Creek Bistro in Upper Arlington, the Piata Market, the very upscale North Star at Easton. What other ones struck your fancy, Rich?
We've had a couple new openings downtown. The Little Palace next to Dirty Frank's. Gooey's, the grilled cheese place on campus. There's a new Buckeye Hall of Fame grill out. Moshi Sushi. I've seen there's, of course, been with the limited number of upscale restaurants that have come into play in the last year or two. We're seeing a lot more ethnic restaurants opening up, Asian mostly. There's several new Korean places up on that Bethel corridor right there. We got Pho Noodles on Lane Avenue, Moshi Sushi, as I mentioned.
Indian. John Christensen says that that's been another boomlet of Indian restaurants.
Lots of Indian restaurants.
Ob Indian, which we went to.
Ob Indian on Grandview Avenue, which Steve and I just ate at the other day. We had the buffet, which there's not many cuisines that I like to eat in a buffet because of just the way they sit. But with Indian, you know, at the way it kind of sits in the sauce and not cooking any longer.
The flavors kind of
melt. Yeah, exactly. The flavors meld together. It was a terrific buffet. I think, $8.50 or $8.95 for the buffet. So definitely would recommend that. That's right near Fifth Avenue in Grandview Avenue.
He particularly recommended because I was buying.
I didn't know that.
Well, if you did that for everybody.
There's I did not know that.
Tadka Indian, so that's another one in that area. So it's actually been a little bit of a boomlet. Big trend in local sourcing. everybody seems to be talking about local sourcing and what they're doing. Obviously, North Star and all of their progeny have done that for a long time. Rigsby's once had 32 different vendors that they would buy from and to try to get the best local produce. And so there's a really good trend there. And I'm like very interested in, you know, getting meat that's local.
Mm-hmm.
And so I traditionally go to Huffman's in Tremont Center where they have Ohio lamb. And if you haven't had Ohio lamb compared to stuff that's been trucked in or shipped in or whatever, you should try it. They always get it from the state fair. And there's a little meat market on Harrisburg Pike called Schumann's Meats. Old family owned. They've been in the business for 50 or 60 years, that they do a wonderful job. They age their meats.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of worth a trip over there to try some of the stuff.
Yeah, a lot of the lamb that you'll pick up in supermarkets and whatnot has come from, you know, places like New Zealand. So, you know, it's been frozen for a significant amount of time.
Of course, the North Market is a good source for that.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Blues Creek, that's the other place we buy our lamb. And it's hormone-free and locally grown, and they'll cut it exactly the way you want it. And sometimes you got to sort of wait because we like certain steaks, and sometimes, well, they're not cutting those right now. So you sort of have to wait for not a flat iron. What's that?
Hanger.
Hanger steaks.
Yeah.
You gotta sort of.
Those are not always available. Not usually available, I would even say.
And to get a veal hanger, I only get them like once or twice a year.
Yeah.
They're like butter, Maryland.
292-8513. And Ted is on the line looking for a recommendation for a vegetarian restaurant. Go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning. Thanks for having the show. I just wondered if there were a few places on the north end you might recommend for different vegetarian food. We often go to, an Indian restaurant, and just something maybe a little bit different, or a restaurant that has a couple interesting vegetarian entrees. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
Well, first of all, any good restaurant is going to have vegetarian options. Among the menus I've seen, they're now featuring vegetarian options. I think it was at Need that we had that. And again, any Asian or Indian restaurant will have good choices. But I try to get an Indian or a vegetarian every once in a while just to try it because I think it's a good gauge of the quality of the restaurant.
And Dragonfly, of course, on King Avenue.
That's the one I was going to mention.
Isn't in the north end, per se.
Far, yeah. It's central. But, Dragonfly, outside of, you know, Indian cuisine is always the easiest way to find it because, you know, there's a particular, you know, half of India.
And there are two Indian vegetarian restaurants. I'm blanking on the names. There's one on East 161, and there's one, I think, on Bethel Road near Olentangy. But if we think of them.
Yeah, I think he's looking for outside of Indian and outside of, you know, Indian specifically. Dragonfly is about the best one I can come up with.
It's vegetarian and vegan, and they do a great job.
You're listening to All Sides Weekend here on WOSU 89.7. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking with restaurant reviewers Steve Stover of Columbus, of Edible Columbus and City Scene Magazine, and WOSU's Rich Terapak. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
The law firm of Bailey Cavalieri supports the quality programming on WOSU Public Media and is proud to support the Columbus Neighborhoods Project. WOSU explores six neighborhoods from the Short North to German Village, King Lincoln to Franklinton, and Old Town East to the University District. This documentary series airs only on WOSU-TV. Go to columbusneighborhoods.org to learn more and to share your own neighborhood's stories and photos.
This is 89.7 NPR News, and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is NPR's weekly news quiz show. Host Peter Sagal and official judge and scorekeeper Carl Castle join them for some fun and a sometimes informational hour of radio. Listen to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Saturday mornings at 11 on 89.7 NPR News. Cloudy skies today, a high of 27 degrees, a slight chance of a little snow tonight, a low of 23. All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
This is All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking about restaurants and food here in Central Ohio with WOSU restaurant reviewer Rich Cherepak and Steve Stover of Edible Columbus and City Scene Magazine. And we'd like to hear from you as well, 292-8513. We have Gary on the line from Springfield. Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Dale? Yeah, I'm sorry. Possibly I missed it. But I'm curious about, is there a trend in locally for upscale fine dining Mexican restaurants? And as an example, if your guests have been there, the Cantina Laredo up at Polaris.
Yes, and there's also a Buelos at Easton, and they are upscale both in terms of the settings and in terms of the food. And in some cases, and I can't say this about Cantina Laredo, they can be a little bit more corporate than the joints that I love so much, the taco trucks and like Cuco's on Henderson Road. But there are some, and the standard by which all of them are judged is the Frontera Grill and Topolobampo, Rick Bayless's places in Chicago.
Well, obviously that would be the standard. As I understand it, this Cantina Laredo goes back to like, you know, it's corporate, but it goes back to Texas originally in like the late 40s or something that expanded and over time and, you know, spread out and that kind of thing.
You're certainly seeing more of them. I wouldn't say that it's necessarily a trend right now. It's maybe an upward swinging trend, but I think, you know, there's generally, you know, a lot of the Mexican and Latin places are still generally on the medium end and don't tend to spend as much on the decor of the restaurant, which kind of gives the upscale feeling. I personally don't usually find that those places are any better than some of the hole in the walls that I love. personally, that's just me.
Okay.
Well, in fairness, they do sometimes use a few more upscale ingredients.
Yes,
and stuff,
that's
which
true.
Takes them up. But in terms of, we like them, but they are sometimes a little corporate. How's that?
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call. Are we seeing that same effort to buy local in some of the ethnic restaurants?
You know, I have not actually talked to any of the chefs that I can think of that I'm familiar with regarding that. You know, that might be a little more difficult in the ethnic space. I mean, I guess you could, you know, with your proteins and whatnot, try and, of course, but, you know, a lot of the, I mean, I don't know, a lot of the Asian restaurants do use, you know, go to the Vietnamese market and buy the, you know, the mini bok choy and the things you can't find, you know, elsewhere. But none of that is, I don't think, sourced locally.
No.
You know, so I think it probably becomes a little more difficult just because generally what we eat here is what, you know, we've always been able to grow here.
Mm-hmm. So.
292-8513, and now we have Gary on the line from Springfield. Hi, Gary.
Yeah, hi, guys. I tell you, I'm a native of the Columbus area, and I've always enjoyed dining at the Top Steakhouse on the east side.
Well, you have a brother here.
Yeah, okay. My favorite. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've eaten in Chicago. I've eaten in Bangkok and Paris. I've been all over the place. And the Top just remains one of the most consistently pleasurable places that I've been. For somebody who wants a vegetarian menu, the old restaurant in Japan up on Kenny Road.
Good call.
Up there. Yeah.
Good call.
They've had a name change.
Akehana?
Yes.
Yeah, right. But the people there are always so pleasant, and the food is just amazing.
I absolutely love
Thank
that
you
restaurant.
For mentioning. Yeah. That's a good call. We didn't pick that one up.
Thanks very
That's
much.
That's it for me. Sure.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
What is it about the Top? So many people just rave about it.
I think it's just the fact that you can't get an experience like that anywhere else really anymore. Maybe in Chicago you could, you know, find an old steakhouse like that. But, you know, you can't replace, you know, the look of it. You can't manufacture that new. It's almost something that has to develop over time. And for people who have, you know, been in Columbus for a long time, the ability to go back in there and see that it's never changed. But the biggest thing that's really happened over the last 3 or 4 years under the new ownership, the food has come back up to par with, you know, any of the top steakhouses around, absolutely. And but I think the thing that really differentiates them, besides the fact that they're also the only non a la carte steakhouse in town, you actually, when you order a steak there, you get a huge dinner salad first, comes with a baked potato. But I think the thing that really distinguishes it is the decor. You know, they've got piano bar live every night. I mean, it feels like stepping back into, you know, a Rat Pack area. It's retro in a way that's not manufactured. I mean, a lot of places try and do that unsuccessfully. They've actually got the same, you know, leather on the bar stools that they've had for 50 years.
And it's priced right.
And the food's great. So, you know, you put all three of those things together, it's my favorite place to eat in town.
And maybe the best lamb chop I've ever had at a restaurant in Columbus.
Best bone-in ribeye I've ever had.
292-8513, and Mark is joining us this morning. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, good morning. I heard about a new restaurant opening and wanted to see if you had heard anything. I heard that a new lunchtime restaurant was opening in downtown, but in the space between the Hyatt and 65 East State Street and the old pizza place, something featuring a locally sourced food. Have you heard anything about that?
No, but I'll be downtown next week.
Is it the old San Francisco Oven location?
Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. It's okay. Right by that courtyard there. I had not heard anything. Do you know what it's called?
It's either something like Cafe 65 or Bistro 65 or something along those lines.
I have not seen any press on that, but we'll definitely keep an eye open.
And listen in next month, and I bet they'll have a report by then.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we'll look forward to it. Thanks for this section today.
Chloe. Well, thank you very much for your call, and we always like to hear about new places. Speaking of which, the owners of the Grandview Cafe are in the readying stage, anyway, of opening a restaurant where Cafe Daniela used to be up in Worthington. And I'll probably butcher this, but I think it's called Rivage Atlantique.
Excellent.
I think that sounds just right. Yeah,
it's right beside House Wine.
Right, a little bit more upscale version of the Grandview Cafe. I think they've been wanting to put it together for a little while now. We'll keep our eyes open for it.
And we've got a lot happening coming up. We've got Gordon's Gourmet out on Riverside Drive, a friend of Richie's, is opening a second location like next week. At the corner of Gay and 4th.
And that Gay Street corridor. And let's see what
Spinelli's
else.
Spinelli's Deli, you were talking
about.
Yeah,
Spinelli's Deli recently relocated downtown. They have a new location. The Jury Room that we talked about last month that was coming is, I think now, they were supposed to open a couple weeks ago. I think the Dispatch actually erroneously published something that stated they were already open. I believe now they are open for cocktails. They have an extensive, actually a gin cocktail menu as opposed to a lot of the vodka menus that have been out for recently. And I think food should start next week, they're hoping. They've had some troubles with supplies and whatnot. But really look forward to seeing that place. And then
Mojo Lounge.
Oh, yeah, Mojo Lounge in the revamped Lazarus building downtown. Mojo Lounge, if you're not familiar with it, is down on the Cap, kind of right near, Sushi Rock that's right there.
Well, that's the one that kind of changes from a coffee house during the day.
Isn't it Cup of Joe people?
Is it the same folks? Okay.
So.
And yeah, I actually always thought it was just a coffee place until I went to an event at the North Market where they actually had some catering from Mojo Lounge. And I think they had banh mi balls or something that were excellent. I loved them. I keep meaning to get back there.
Small menu, but good. And then, of course, we don't know any of the details, but we know that the folks from the North Star Cafe and Third in Hollywood, Katie and Kevin Malhamy are thinking of a new concept. And we've been waiting for the Black Creek Bistro to move to their new day.
Yeah, we've been talking about that for two years. Yeah, I mean, and I've always said there's a lot of work to do. Again, they're relocating to an old fire station, catty corner to them down at Oak and Parsons. We'll wait for more word on that.
And then we had some closings in 2010.
Well, Cafe Daniela apparently closed, at least at the Worthington
Bexley's
location.
Bexley's Rich.
Yeah, Bexley's Monk, which is a signature of the East Side. If there's anybody out there listening, I think it would be a great spot to reopen without all of the fine dining white tablecloth space. If you stuck to just that wonderful bar they've got with the oven there, you could do a great appetizer spot. I'd love to do it, but I don't have any money. But
you could ask your dad.
Yeah, I've asked him. No dice.
Bay Leaf Indian up on Polaris. Mm-hmm. They had a few problems with health code violations. They closed. Tria Greek up in Powell closed. So We lost a couple. R.I.P.
Flavors Eatery on Main Street in Bexley. Yeah. It's going to reopen as a Mediterranean, a Turkish place or something, coming pretty soon. I can't remember the name, unfortunately, but I think that's coming in the next couple months.
And we are full of news today, Rich. Yeah.
292-8513. We're talking about restaurants with Rich Tarapak and Steve Stover. And Ed is joining us. Good morning.
Yes, I kind of like the Mojo Lounge. There's also one in German Village next to the Cup of Joe down there. But my question was if you've heard anything about changes at Max and Irma's. I talked to a couple staff the other day, and they said new menu items, maybe new uniforms and some other things. But I wanted to find out if there was any more there now that they actually have some owners that seem to care about the company. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks very much.
I've heard that they were retooling by the new owners. I don't know any of the details, but it would be, I think it would be timely.
Yeah, I mean, I know they've been through a restructuring.
And right now is a good time because, as I said, things are on the upswing, the burger places, the bars and stuff like that. They also have a little bit of retro to them now that they've been in business for a long time, and I think it would be a good thing, frankly.
292-8513, and Andy is joining us. Hi. Go ahead.
Hi. I was wondering if either of you have been to Indochine Cafe on Hamilton Road.
You're talking to someone who absolutely loves that restaurant.
Yeah, I go there like once every 2 weeks. I live on the east side, in all fairness. But, yeah, I love Indochine. My favorite thing is the number 13, the pho noodles with the beef and the beef balls. And then also the steak salad there. If you've never had Vietnamese steak salad, it's like chilies, lime juice, fish sauce, kind of tossed with strips of strip steak, and it's absolutely fantastic. I love Indochine.
There aren't many Vietnamese restaurants.
Have you had a good experience there?
Absolutely. Every time it's really similar to stepping into someone's kitchen.
Absolutely, yeah. Fumi, who's the proprietor there, you know, comes out. I keep up with them on what specials they have, but she loves to come out and talk to you. Sometimes at extreme length, but it's a great place. I'd recommend it to anyone. For anyone who doesn't know, it's between Broad Street and Main Street on South Hamilton Road.
And there aren't that many Vietnamese restaurants. They do ebb and flow. There's the Saigon Palace downtown, and there was another
Mi Li,
and there's another one on up in the Polaris area that's actually very good. See, we've had the same problem with Turkish restaurants. At one point, we had five.
And these now, things tend to trend. There's also a new pho place, pho noodles, on Lane Avenue. We mentioned it a little earlier. They do a pretty good bowl of pho too, and they also mix in several of your kind of generic Chinese American dishes, which is different. If you maybe got kids who couldn't get into the Vietnamese stuff, that might be an easier sell to them than like an Indochine that's a little more authentic Vietnamese.
And the North Market.
Oh, yeah, which is now actually – it used to be Lock Viet, which I believe now has a store. And I was in North Market the other day and noticed it's now called Lan Viet, which leads me to believe they must have maybe sold it to a relative or something. I mean, it looks exactly the same, but it's got an N on the
– And the food looks the same.
And the food looks exactly – in fact, I had some of their little spring rolls, and they were exactly the same as Lock Viet used to have. But I think that is under new ownership in the North Market.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call this morning. And Nancy's joining us from Clintonville. Hi, Nancy.
Yes, good morning. I just wondered if you knew when the Jury Room downtown will actually open under new management or ownership, because they did not answer the phone this past week. And what differences can we expect from the menu, if you know anything about that? And I'll listen to your answers offline.
Well, we did touch on this briefly a couple of minutes ago, probably before you tuned in.
They're now open for cocktails in the evening. No food yet. They've had a little bit of trouble with their actual supplies for the kitchen coming in on time. They're hoping to open for food service next week. It's going to be kind of an old-fashioned menu with Italian influences, I believe. I'm sure they'll feature some of the same type, comfort foods that the other Lessner projects have over at Tip Top and
plenty of them, and yeah. Betty's.
And do you think there will be the same effort to keep pricing reasonable?
I imagine so. That seems to be their model. I can't imagine why they'd change it over here.
Especially their courthouse area.
Right. And they've kept a lot of the original decor. I think they've just really tried to polish the place up, but they really want to, you know, keep the retro look. I think it was started in the 1830s. So food, I think, next week, but I would definitely call and make sure because it's kind of been an ongoing – I was actually keeping in touch with the owner on this because Steve and I were trying to get in there last week, and they've just had a few problems getting started, as is the case anytime with restaurants and their upstart.
There was an article in the Dispatch, which you mentioned, that declared them open,
misled
which just contributed
to, open,
to
right.
some of the confusion.
Same with Gordon's Gourmet opening at 3rd and
– 4th and Gay?
4th and Gay, yeah. They were having their inspection on Friday, so check them and see if they're open. It'll be a great little lunch place. Really nice lobster bisque I had there the other day.
Yeah, he does great soups. They have an Asian salad that I think is terrific as well. It's one of my favorite
salads.
And
he makes everything right there on site, doesn't he?
Yeah, they roast all their stuff in-house. I think they outsource their bread.
We use them for a lot of catering. They've got some outstanding box lunches with sandwiches and homemade soups and homemade potato chips, which is my downfall.
Yeah, those lunches
are very competitive with anybody else, and they do deliver. So for those of you downtown, that would be another option if you do a lot of box lunches.
I think they were delivering downtown so much from their Riverside Drive location that that's really the impetus for moving down there. But, you know, with the Gay Street corridor developing the way it is, it hopefully will become a busy restaurant storefront business as well.
292-8513, Lori's on the line. Hi, Lori.
Hi, I'm calling. I'm dying for some good Indian food out here in New Albany. Is there any thought or do you know anything about anybody opening any kind of Indian restaurant out in this general area near Easton, perhaps?
You know, that's one of my biggest complaints about Easton is there is no Indian food out there. There's very little ethnic food at all outside of Cafe Istanbul. I do not know of anything opening out there.
Where's
the best
Todka?
Thing? If, pardon me?
Todka? Where is that?
I'm not sure where that is.
I'd say the Sawmill Road corridor or downtown is. I'm afraid it's a hike.
Yeah.
We really like the Ab Indian on Grandview Avenue at 5th.
I imagine if you're taking 161 in from New Albany, I imagine some decent Indian on that 161 corridor there near Columbus Square. There's a ton of different ethnic restaurants. And then there's a few up at Polaris. Cuisine of India I like. That's on Sankus Boulevard. But out in New Albany, unfortunately, it's fairly homogeneous.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for your call this morning. We're talking about Columbus restaurants and food around Central Ohio with two restaurant reviewers, Steve Stover of Edible Columbus and City Scene Magazine, and Rich Terapak, who does restaurant reviews here at WOSU. And we will go and talk to Barbara next, if I can figure out which line she's on. Barbara, is that you?
Yes,
good.
Here I am.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi. I wanted to know where I can buy Edible Columbus magazine.
Oh, easy call. It's available at a lot of local sourcing places. For example, it's free, by the way, at the North Market,
okay,
and at the Greener Grocer there, and maybe one or two other places. And anybody that advertises in it usually has a couple of free copies. And you can look for my. Oh, we're going to hold it up
for all your radio listeners.
I've got an article in the next issue coming up about our visit from Michael Ruhlman, the famous food writer, and his visit to Columbus in October with the Columbus Food Mafia.
And probably Huffman's, grocery store.
They advertise in there. But you could also probably call them or email them and ask them where it's available.
Okay.
It's a beautiful magazine, by the way. And you can subscribe. You can subscribe, I believe, through the tryediblecolumbus.com.
Okay. And then have you heard anything about the new Polish restaurant opening
Babushka
on North High?
I have actually heard about that because there's someone here at WOSU whose friend is actually opening it. And there has been a little article in the Dispatch, I think on Tuesday, where they do the restaurants as business on the business page. They do an article there. Denise Trowbridge, I think, of the Dispatch usually writes that. So it is coming probably within the next month or 6 weeks.
Also, the new Polish eatery in the North Market is quite good as well. I had the bochwatki there, the stuffed cabbage. It was
say
really,
that again,
really good.
Three times.
Bochwatki.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much for your call. We're going to take a short break right now. We'll be back in just a minute.
Billy Joe Armstrong of the band Green Day is on Broadway for the next few weeks, starring in American Idiot, the musical adapted from the band's album of the same name. On the next Fresh Air, we feature our interview with him. Join us.
Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes, starting at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Spend some time getting caught up on what's happening in your world every Friday night on WOSU-TV. Starting at 8 is Washington Week. For local news, watch Columbus on the Record at 8:30. And then continuing at 9, it's the McLaughlin Group. And at 9:30, PBS presents Need to Know, a program that features an innovative broadcast and web approach to news gathering and reporting. Spend your Friday night with WOSU-TV. Tonight, beginning at 8.
Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the estate of Donald R. Glancy, whose life was enriched by public radio and television and whose bequest seeks to encourage others to discover WOSU public media.
23 degrees currently in downtown Columbus. Cloudy skies today, a high of 27. A slight chance of snow tonight, a low of 23 degrees. There's about a 50% chance of snow on Saturday, otherwise cloudy skies and a high reaching 34. A slight chance of snow Saturday night and a low of 15 degrees, and then partly sunny on Sunday and a high of 26. All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
And welcome back. This is All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking about Columbus restaurants and food here in Central Ohio with two restaurant reviewers this morning, Steve Stover of Edible Columbus and City Scene Magazine, and WOSU's Rich Terapak. We've got a couple of emails this morning. Is there any Moroccan vegetarian food in Columbus? Who knows how far these combinations
can go? Well, I'm glad people are asking because it's really getting me fired up to get out there. But no.
A close one is Absinthia over in the Town and Country Shopping. It's Ethiopian,
right.
I believe. But that spongy bread. I can't remember the proper name for it. With a lot of vegetarian items. That's something similar to
that.
And
up on North High Street, there's another Ethiopian. There are actually three or four Ethiopian restaurants in Columbus. And, of course, there are African restaurants along the Morse Road corridor.
Mm-hmm.
One
of them's called African Restaurant, actually.
Right. But they aren't all vegetarian, but they all have vegetarian items.
Mm-hmm. And we have a note from Don on Facebook. Local Roots in Powell is pretty good. And he says he loves the Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale that they have on tap. Well, who doesn't?
Yeah.
I've heard Local Roots in Powell is good.
Yeah.
And I need to get up there someday.
I was thinking, we was doing some research about restaurant trends, what's happening. And I'm sort of pleased that Columbus is doing better than you would have thought. Wine bars, of course, have sprung up. And Columbus, you can't go anywhere without – there's a new wine – I was driving down Lane Avenue on my way here, and there's a new wine bar opening there. There's the Wine Guy Bar and Bistros. There are several of those. There's another wine bar on North High Street. We talked about house wine. There's another one north of 270, so that's been real big. Another trend I read about was food halls, like Harrod's has a food hall. But in New York, there's Eataly, which is Mario Battaglia and Lydia Bastianich have a place. Korean cuisine is a hottie, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And Macaron, the little meringue cookies. Now, Columbus is way ahead on that because we have Pistachio Vera, which may have the best.
They've been doing those for years. It's their signature item. But, yeah, and if you haven't gotten over to try those, I recently brought some over to work as Christmas gifts.
Did you pay?
Of course I paid.
And where exactly is that?
It's in the original Thurn's location on 3rd and German Village. It's just about three blocks south of Livingston.
If you haven't been there, it probably has the most beautiful dessert case in the United States and one of the best anywhere.
And great coffee. Actually, they do cafe au lait there, which are terrific.
And they have a few savory items, including superb handmade croissant and pain au chocolat and some savory croissant. And other, so we actually go there for breakfast sometimes.
Oh, yeah, it's very popular in the morning.
Pop down there for some tea and croissant and love it. And so it's in my top favorites, by the way.
Yeah, no, I saw that.
And we'll get to those in just a minute. But we do have Dave on the line who's been patiently holding. Hi.
How y'all doing today?
Good.
Good, thanks.
Very good. My original question was Greek, but I'm interested in a Hungarian restaurant, Cajun, Peruvian and Greek, and I'll take your answer off the line.
Not all together, I hope.
Wait a minute.
That'd be fusion.
okay. All right. So, Hungarian?
Hungarian, I don't know if I'm going to be able to touch that one. Nothing's coming to mind. Greek, I like the Mad Greek on East Broad. Peruvian.
There's also a new Greek corner on Lane Avenue there. A new Greek corner on Lane Avenue. And there's also a Mad Greek at Gateway, but I think it might have closed.
And then there's the I can't remember it's Peruvian or Ecuadorian.
We actually used to have a Peruvian out on the east side, but we don't anymore.
Well, what's the one in the alley?
Pearl Alley. That's what I'm thinking of. I can't remember if it's Ecuadorian or Peruvian.
It's a pan South American.
Yeah, pan South American. That's an excellent place. That's on Pearl Alley, just in from Broad Street.
El Arapaizo or
Arapaizo.
No,
it's we're close.
Gay and Broad in the alley just east of Broad Street.
And you'll notice it by the crowd outside
exactly.
Because it's always
they pack them in at lunch. Get there early if you want to get there.
And they do have, as you say, kind of a pan-South American. They have dishes from different countries in South America.
And very fresh greens, great ingredients. Mm-hmm. That's what I really like about that.
And
place.
Then Cajun, you mentioned to me Delevy.
Oh, yeah, Delevy is a new favorite of mine down.
And people are raving about Delevy.
Yeah, it's just down the street from the old Rosendale's, kind of next to the Segway store, I believe, in that strip in the Short North. That all the buildings are kind of attached there.
And there's another one in Gehenna. Right at the corner
Cajun. Oh, Cajun place. Well, there's also Jay Gumbo's, I think, on Gay Street downtown.
And Po' Boys, which is in Clintonville, which is a little bit difficult to find because the sign sits parallel to the building, and it's a little tricky. But I think Johnny Oaks, I believe, is the owner.
Oh, yeah. Johnny Oaks?
The Johnny Oaks. We did a review of that probably about a year or so ago, and in fact, he called me afterwards and said people were flocking there at lunchtime. So that's a pretty good
reemerged.
There's just no place to really eat
inside.
The
one I could speak to the most that I've eaten at five or six times is Delevy. I definitely recommend it. They do a great chili cheese etouffee if you make it in there.
Pretty good. Pretty good call, except for Hungarian. We got them all.
Yeah.
292-8513, and Peter's joining us. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
I wonder if you folks have visited the I know you've been to the Claremont. You mentioned the Top, which I figure those two restaurants are about the comparable. And your feelings regarding that, as well as the new restaurant up on Polaris, Nicky's.
Oh, Fish Columbus, Fisherman's Wharf.
Yeah, and how that is. I think it just opened.
If it is even open, I think it was. They're in construction, maybe still. It's kind of in front of the Best Buy on Polaris Parkway, right off of 71.
West of 71.
Just west of 71.
It's near. You can see Carrabba's.
It used to be popular back in the day when it was on East Main and Bexley. But I don't believe they're open yet. If they are, I haven't talked to anyone.
But if they are, and if Nicky's there, you can be sure. You know, he and his kids owned Big Fat Greek Casino, which was a very unfortunate name, on Fishinger Road at Riverside. And you know you can always go in there and get good fish, properly cooked, and you get good value for your dollar. As long as Nicky's there, it's going to be a quality product. You just don't think about it very often.
No.
Well, you might want to check that out on Google. As I was doing some research for the show today, it seems to me I did run across something, and they may be open already.
Oh, okay. I'll check it out. I work right up there.
Fisherman's Wharf up on Polaris.
Great.
And regarding between the Top and Claremont, I mean, yes, Claremont is the same, type restaurant.
Vintage.
I mean, exact same category. I think the steak at the Top is superior, or the preparation, I should say.
And you guys have put together a list of your favorite, not necessarily in any particular order, and not necessarily the best restaurants in terms of cuisine, mm-hmm. but the places you like to go the most.
On your own dime.
This one we're eating out with our spouses, you know, where we like to go the most, not without regard to price or anything else, just kind of our favorite places to go. We were out at lunch the other day and just thought it'd be fun to do, you know, the way Christensen always makes a list every year.
But these are not my top ten.
No particular order. These are not our top ten. These are just where we like to eat. Steve, if you want to start.
Sure. I've already mentioned Pistacia Vera, which is maybe one of the best dessert places anywhere. When we're on our own, Mary and I like to go to Bazzi Italia down on Highland between Buttles and Hubbard, a block east of Neal Avenue. Kahachi is a real treasure. To have a restaurant of that caliber in Columbus, Ohio, is pretty fabulous. Of course, City Barbecue, our friends are very much involved in that, but still, we've gone to hundreds of barbecue joints in our day, and it's still as good as anything.
I agree.
We like to go to Lavash, Nasser Latif's. Mary was just there this week. Nasser Latif's little Middle Eastern place.
Halfway between Lebanon and New York, isn't it?
Oh, right. I remember that call. Yeah.
He's so great.
Yeah, I love Lavash.
It is. It's a wonderful place and consistent.
A Rick and Krista's little place on North High. Starliner Diner, and it does have offspring, and I can't remember the name of the Louis Grill. It's almost an exact copy of the food of the original Starliner Diner. There's one on Cemetery Road, right down from the Starliner Diner, and a new Louis has opened in Arlington, roughly at the corner of Zollinger and Northwest, in the old Zappa location. Mm-hmm. North Star Cafes we'll go to, and of course Rigsby's Kitchen, and I'll throw one more in just. The bargain three-course dinner at the refectory in the lounge Monday through Thursday. Three courses, a choice of each for $23.95.
And I think I read this week that on Friday night, or the first Friday night of the month, they're doing a French chef menu. Yep.
Four-course menu based on particular French chefs, mm-hmm. Their influences. I think it's $50, so it's a much higher price point than what Steve just mentioned. Right. But I'm glad you did mention that because, on that particular night, that's a great deal. I had a couple that are the same, so I'll just knock those out. Cuco's on Henderson Road, best Mexican in town, I think. Mike Thompson was just telling me before the show that he ate there the other night and absolutely loved it. And what was the other one? Bazzi is also on mine. Outside of that, I've already gone on enough about the Top Steakhouse, my favorite. Sage American Bistro, which is a couple years old now. That is on High Street in the Quentinville area near Doddridge and High. Elena's on also up kind of that area. It's hands down the most creative menu in town year after year. G. Michael's, you got to love what Chef Tesloff has done over there. Scally out on the east side for Italian. There's very few Italian places I really like in town. This is out on 256 out in Pickerington. And then I can't remember if someone questioned my pronunciation of Chai Thai. They said it might be Chi Thai. I don't know. It's on North Hamilton Road to our New Albany caller. That's out in your direction. I absolutely love that place.
It's almost to 161 on Hamilton.
Exactly. Near Morse. And then just north of Morse. And then because I mentioned Barcelona down in German Village for as far as the decor goes, and I always do love their menu, which they keep pretty fresh and new.
Much as I'd like to argue, I think that's a very good list.
Thank you, Steve.
I think we've got 15 really good. Marilyn, what would you add to the list of places
Well, one of the places I do go regularly because I know I'm always going to get a good meal is Filio's on Grandview.
Good call.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That is good.
And they just do a really nice job there. And no matter
– I like the little wine bar too, right?
It's very nice, very nice. But up until recently, I haven't had the opportunity to get out to dinner very much. So my new hours do afford me opportunity. So I'll be out and about. We do have a few more callers this morning. Lucas is calling. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I actually work in that interesting area between the South Campus and the kind of bustling area of the Short North, where they're building the new or renovating the new Kroger.
Mm-hmm.
King Avenue.
Prepare on Fifth Avenue.
Yep.
But I usually go to Travana Coffee House for lunch. They have amazing sandwiches. They have a really great atmosphere. Amazing staff. I don't know if any of you guys have ever...
Where is it?
It's right on High Street, next across from Rivet Gallery, right sort of a couple doors down from American Apparel on North High Street.
Okay, so north of King and Fifth, yeah.
Okay, between just south of campus.
Yeah, between South Campus and sort of the bustling area of the Short North there. It's an interesting area because it seems to be trying to come around now. And I think
it is ripe for development there.
Yeah. The two areas around on each end of it have certainly come up. Right. There's no reason to believe that area won't be the next.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of Bodega.
Bodega's right in that area.
Good sandwiches and lots of wines and beers.
And what can you tell us a little bit about their menu?
They do a lot of, lunch kind of specials, deals. A lot of their sides are basically just bags of chips and things like that, but they do delicious hot panini sandwiches with, chicken and quesadilla cheese type of things. They have a couple vegetarian options, which is great, especially a lot of friends who eat vegetarian. We tend to go there a lot. And they have amazing coffee. The coffee is incredible.
Well, thanks so much for that tip. This is Trevana on High Street, sort of in that
corridor between South Gateway and the Short North.
Okay, Kathy's on the line joining us from Lancaster. Hi.
Hi, I'm enjoying your show.
Thanks, we are too.
you had mentioned some Vietnamese restaurants, and I just wanted to remind you of the Bamboo Cafe.
Oh, yeah.
Good call.
Okay, so you know about it.
Mm-hmm. We do, yeah. We can't mention everything, but that is one we certainly endorse. Yeah.
Tell them.
Lovely menu, lovely people that run it. And also, don't forget Shaw's in Lancaster.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you very much for your call. And proving once again that our listeners are up and up and really know their restaurants.
Great group today.
Absolutely. Anna Marie from Worthington is joining us. We just have a couple of minutes. Go ahead. Are you there?
Did you say Anna Marie?
Yes, yeah. I did.
Okay. I want to cite Anna's as a Greek restaurant on North Bowmanville. Mm-hmm. I love Greek food, and I have found that superior to any other Greek restaurant in the city.
And you said North Sawmill?
Yes.
Yes, okay. North of 270.
And the decor is wonderful, hand-painted scenes of Greece. It's a very delightful atmosphere, and New Year's Eve there was sensational.
Is that up in, the Sawmill Center area, or...?
It's just beyond the interchange.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Just beyond. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
That also jars my memory for those who asked about Indian. There's an excellent Indian place up there called Amul India.
That's it.
Yeah. Their moussaka is outstanding.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for that call. We have Gail on the line from Clintonville. Hi.
Hello. I live in Clintonville, and I would like to give a shout-out for Ray Ray's Barbecue Pit. It's a truck. Barbecue truck that parks from Thursday to Sunday. I'm looking at it now right out of my kitchen window. And when those smells waft over
that
here,
must make you hungry.
Oh, my God, especially in the summer and the spring. But it's right there at East Pacemont and High Street. It's parked right on High Street in front of that Superfood Mart. And they have this incredible smoked, wood-smoked ribs and pulled pork. And they also now have grass-fed beef.
Where is the location, please?
It's right. They park the truck right at East Pacemont and right on High Street. You can see it from High Street. There's a little quickie Superfood Mart. They park in that parking lot right there.
Well,
just incredible.
That's really good to know. I was actually in Clintonville for barbecue yesterday, and I won't mention the name of the place, but it wasn't up to par, in my opinion. Mm. So now that I know of that place, I would hit that.
Well, and speaking, of course, of food trends, the trucks are chief among them.
Mm-hmm. And food carts, both nationally and in Ohio. Of course, we have the Columbus taco trucks.
Thank you both very much. We've been talking this morning with Rich Terapak, who does restaurant reviews here at WOSU, and Steve Stover of Edible Columbus and City Scene Magazine.
Thank you.
This is WOSU 89.7 and 820. HD1 Columbus and streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media. It's 12 o'clock. News from NPR is coming up next.